Christian life is much like running a race. The race is no short sprint, but an enduring journey where we discipline ourselves to persevere and focus on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It requires us to lay aside anything which would weigh us down or cause us to lose focus. We don't look at what is behind. We focus on what is before us, because before us is where Jesus is continuing to finish the work he began. We discipline ourselves to continue to run. It is not always easy. We grow weary, tired. Voices tell us to quit. But when we think we can endure no longer, that we will not finish the journey, we will lift our head. We continue to put one foot in front of the other. We focus our eyes on Jesus, who cheers us on and carries us forward, because he is our refuge. He is our strength. He is the joy set before us, who endured the cross to provide our salvation. Run for the prize, because one day we will cross the finish line and hear him say, "Well done, and welcome home."
Albert Einstein was taking a train to speak at a meeting, and the conductor stopped to check his ticket. And Albert Einstein looked around, he couldn't find his ticket. And he was so preoccupied with his work, you see. It wasn't in his pockets, wasn't in his briefcase. The conductor said, "It's okay, we know who you are, Mr. Einstein. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it." So the conductor carried on down the train. But Einstein was underneath the seat looking for this ticket, looking everywhere in his pockets. And the conductor walked back and said, "Dr. Einstein, please don't worry about it. I know who you are." But a frustrated Einstein looked up and said, "I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going." Friends, do you know your direction? Do you know where God is leading you? Do you know what his heart is for you? My prayer this morning is that we would leave this place changed not by my words, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look in a few moments at Philippians 3, verses 12 to 21. It's a letter. It was written by Paul to the church in Philippi. Over a decade before, Paul had planted this church. This was a church that Paul loved. He knew it well. He passionately wanted it to succeed. He wrote the letter from prison in Rome. And Paul had known desperate poverty. He had known abundant wealth and everything in between. But Paul had learned to be content. And he loved this church that he was writing to. And it comes through in these heartfelt words that we're going to read. So Philippians 3, verses 12 to 21. If you'd like a Bible, do indicate, and someone will bring one to you. And if you don't have a Bible, keep the Bible that they bring to you. We want to give that to you as a gift. So Philippians 3, verses 12 to 21. "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in the following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen. I have 5 points to share with you. The first one is our goal is to complete the race. Our goal is to complete the race. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Friends, Paul wants to be more like Jesus, but he realizes that he has not made it yet. It's his heart's desire to be perfect, but this side of heaven, he will never be perfect, but he presses on. Friends, you and I, we're created to be more like Jesus. Friends, Jesus paid with his life to have a relationship with you. The Christian life is a little bit like running a marathon. I don't much like marathons. Some of you here love them. I won't point you out, but you love them. For me, thinking of life as a marathon is quite hard work, but it's putting one foot in front of the other, and it's keeping going. A friend of mine called Avtar once took me on a park run. You might say, you need to go on a few more. I do, I know that, so stop thinking it. He took me on a park run, and he ran with me, and he encouraged me, and we kept going. In that film clip at the beginning, there was that guy who had his head down, and he was running, and then you saw his lift his head up. He had very big muscles as well, didn't he? Anyway, I've watched it a few times. And then he suddenly managed to get going again. And he kept going, and he kept going. Friends, the Christian life is like running a marathon. Paul talks also about not looking back. In verse 13, we read this, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." Paul made the decision to not look back on his past. Friends, Paul had a messy past. He had persecuted Christians, but he chose not to look back. Friends, don't let your past dominate your present. Paul calls us to look forward. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we read this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Allow Christ to define you and not your past. See what God is doing in front of you." Friends, allow Jesus to reach you in your present and run with you. At school, I really did not enjoy hurdles. Anyone else not enjoy the hurdles? Oh, just a few. Come on, you're not being... John Powell, you never enjoyed the hurdles, did you? Be honest. Put your hand up. Come on. Maybe you're more athletic than I realise. Anyway, I really did not like the hurdles. I would run at them. They would tell me all the techniques. I would hook the leg. I think you hooked the leg like that, I think, if I remember. And it was just down there. I come out of a sweat when I go near that playing field. And I would trip over them. It just went wrong for me. But friends, I had to get up and keep running the race. Friends, there are times when we have to pick ourselves up and we have to run the race. For us as Christians, the finishing line means heaven. The prize is not a medal or a laurel crown or a cash prize. But friends, it's better than all that. It's eternal life with Jesus. Friends, let's keep running and let's complete the race. Let's win the prize. Friends, you see, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you, where the arms of God cannot support you, where the riches of God cannot supply your needs, where the power of God cannot endow you. The will of God will never take you where the Spirit of God cannot work through you, where the wisdom of God cannot teach you, where the army of God cannot protect you, where the hands of God cannot mold you. The will of God will never take you where the love of God cannot enfold you, where the mercies of God cannot sustain you, where the peace of God cannot calm your fears, where the authority of God cannot overrule you. The will of God will never take you where the comfort of God cannot dry your tears, where the word of God cannot feed you, where the miracles of God cannot be done for you, where the omnipresence of God cannot find you. Secondly, our focus is Jesus. Our focus is Jesus. We read this in verse 14 to 16. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Friends, we are called to focus on Jesus and live out our faith. Are you chasing after worldly stuff, or are you pursuing the things of God for your life? We need to personally, I need to personally, as a church, to focus on Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and equip us for all that he has for us to do in his name. These are exciting and challenging times, but if we focus on Jesus, he will make the humanly impossible possible. Friends, our focus can so easily be taken off Jesus. What would happen if we treated our Bibles in the same way as we treat our mobile phones? What if we carried it around in our handbags or our pockets? What if we flipped through it several times a day? What if we turned back to get it if we forgot it? What if we used it to receive messages? What if we treated the Bible as though we could not live without it? What if we gave it to our children as a gift? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it for emergencies? We do not have to worry about our Bible being disconnected because of lack of credit. Jesus has already paid the bill and in full. And don't worry, no missed calls. God hears them all. Friends, we get so distracted. I mentioned WhatsApp earlier. I don't know about you. I love technology, but WhatsApp. I'm in so many WhatsApp groups. Dave will tell you my love-hate relationship with WhatsApp. I'm in so many WhatsApp groups. Some of them are precious, so please none of you mishear me. Some of them are precious, and they help me pray for people. But friends, sometimes we get so distracted. You know, do you spend more time on WhatsApp than you do in the Word of God? Emails. If I open up my emails every day, I get an email from Ralph Lauren telling me that I need a new pair of socks or I need a new shirt. Don't get me wrong. I quite like once a year at Christmas, friends, a Ralph Lauren shirt, that's fine. But every day getting, it feels like every day, it's probably every other day, and I do sit, hit delete and unsubscribe, but then if somebody goes and gets something for me, I then get resubscribed. But, you know, it can make my world think, I've got to have Ralph Lauren. I must. Friends, Lemmings is just as good and they have a great sale and their shirts are a fraction of the price. We need to get a grip and we need to get our focus, friends, on Jesus. There's some other things I'm going to read out. Maybe these are speech and I've been praying about this. So as I say these things, allow the Holy Spirit to convict you, not me. Family, we need to put God first, even above our families. But hear this. No, not the church. We need to put God first, then our families. Friends are so important, but we need to put Jesus above them. Maybe there are fractured friendships that are making our focus on Jesus really tough. Maybe we need to deal with them. Maybe shopping is your thing and you lose your focus. Maybe television, the plethora of stuff that you can watch, some of it good, some of it not good. Sport, I love going to watch sport. But is it in the right place for you? Gaming, who enjoys gaming? I just get frustrated trying to get my son off gaming. But gaming, you know, gaming can be great, but if gaming takes over your life and it takes you away from worshiping Jesus, work, money, inappropriate relationships. Is your eye getting drawn to somebody that it shouldn't be being drawn to? Focus it back to your wife. Focus it back to your husband. Gambling, alcohol, unhelpful apps. You'll notice that the government's banned TikTok. I had TikTok briefly on my phone so that I knew what it was about, but I've got rid of it. It's unhelpful. It's unhelpful. It does not help us to focus our lives on Jesus. And maybe there's other stuff. Friends, fix your focus on Jesus. Thirdly, verse 17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So how do we run this race as Christians? How do we run this race as Christians? Friends, we love one another. John 13, 34. We encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. We spur one another on in that race. Hebrews 10, verse 24. We instruct one another. Romans 15, verse 14. We serve one another. Galatians 5, verse 13. We bear with one another. Ephesians 4, verse 32. We even forgive one another. Colossians 3, verse 13. We're called to be kind to one another. Ephesians 4, 32. To be compassionate to one another. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. If you're wondering what these things are when I'm saying 1 Peter 3, verse 8, and you're new to church, these are books in the Bible, and these are references, and I can show you how to find them later. We're called to honour and be devoted to one another in Romans 12, verse 10. To be patient with one another, Ephesians 4, verse 2. To submit to one another, Ephesians 5, 21. To teach one another, Colossians 3, 16. To confess your sins to one another, James 5, verse 16. To have fellowship with one another, 1 John 1, 7. And we're called to carry one another, Galatians 6, verse 2. Friends, I don't know who the people are that you look up to, but I've had a number over the years. There was a lady called Iris Moles. I used to visit her in a little coffee. She was in her lounge, which had a coffee table in it. And I would go in and I'd sit down at the little old seats that were well past their sell-by date. But I'd sit down and you'd fold into the, I remember it, sit down and fold into it. And this little coffee table had a glass top. And under this glass top, she had photographs of people that she prayed for. She prayed and prayed. For people like Reese, she prayed for them. She was an example to me. Who's the people that you look up to as your example? Who are you discipling? I don't know about you. Are you being a good example? This little picture of Venice. Helen and I went there when we were going out. Lovely place. Helen was always a bit careful with money back then. She still can be. But I decided I'd marry her if she went on the gondola because she told me that they're a waste of money. There you go, a little confession. It's dead true. I probably would have married her because God meant it to be. But then Mum and Dad offered to pay for the gondola, so that made it that little bit easier for her. So we went on the gondola. We had a great time. But on that holiday, we must have been the only two people going out in Venice who had two single rooms. See, we would go up to the guy, and he went, brother and sister. No, boyfriend and girlfriend. And he laughed. He laughed at us. But you see, it was a way for me to say, no, we're not married yet. We want to be a good example. I get it wrong, by the way. I'm not always a good example. But friends, we're called to be an example to others. Are you a good example to your neighbours? Are you a good example to your work colleagues? Are you a good example to the people at the school gate? We're called to follow Jesus and not live the way the world lives. Our tears for the lost, verses 18 and 19. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, Paul loved these people. He had tears in his eyes. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. It's not just talking about food necessarily. It's just talking about stuff and ways of the world. Friends, we're called to live differently. I walked to Marks and Spencer's from the Hub yesterday, and it was great. I love walking in our village, as long as I've got time, because I always see somebody, but it was nice. John and Tom drove past, gave me a little wave. Tom did. John was driving, or trying to. And it was lovely to see them. But as I walked back from getting my lunch from M&S, a healthy lunch, you'll be pleased to know, my heart broke. Everything went like into slow-mo. And I was looking around, and I'd just been looking at this. My heart broke because many of the people that I saw didn't know Jesus. They'd never been told about him, so they didn't know that they were not living a good way, a God way. Friends, we need to weep for the lost. There was a missionary called John Vassar, and he knocked on the door of a house, and he asked the lady if she knew Jesus. She said, "It's none of your business." Slammed the door in his face. He stood on the doorstep and wept and wept. And she was discreetly looking out of her window at him weeping. The next Sunday, she presented herself for church membership. She said it was those tears. People will disagree with us, with the cross, but we need to stand up and be counted. Life as followers of Jesus is going to get interesting in the months ahead. Are you, am I willing to stand firm for what we believe while still being passionate and compassionate with tears for the lost? And fifthly, our home is heaven. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be his glorious body. Friends, we're called to follow Jesus, to not live the way of the world lives. You see, this is only our temporary home. The stuff you have, friends, is all the Lord's. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's all his. Even that really nice DeWalt drill that you really don't want to lend to your neighbour who asks, "Can I borrow your drill?" It's the Lord's. I say that because I do have one, and I have had to give things sometimes like this. I remember getting a sofa, and our children's worker came round. She spilt a pint of Coca-Cola on it the day after we'd got it. And we'd saved like mad to get it. And I'd said to Helen the day before, "This sofa," I said, "Helen, it's the Lord's. Whatever happens to it, it's the Lord's." You know, we have to hold things lightly. This is only our temporary home. It actually happened that DFS marked it coming in. They came 3 days later, took it away and gave us a new one. So it was okay. But hold things lightly. In 1 Peter 2, we read this, verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage against your soul. Friends, we are foreigners and exiles. We're just here for a time. You might have your blue passport. You might be very proud. I'm not going to get into this. You might still like your old one, but you might also have your blue one. I'm British. Friends, you're a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. You might say, I live in Chalfont St. Peter or Chalfont St. Giles or Gerrard Cross or Stoke Poges or Chesham or anywhere in between or any other place. But friends, if you are a Christian, this is just a staging post for heaven. I love my home, but it's just a temporary one. Friends, we are going, and I usually say this at funerals, but it's true for today. Friends, we are going from the land of the dying to the land of the living. You might not know when you're going, but it's going to happen. You could try and hold it back with medicine and stuff like that, but the reality is, at some point, you'll be called home. And friends, your home is heaven. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. This is from John 14. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be where I am. Friends, our home is heaven. It's the most amazing place. I asked some friends to give me some images. They've been all over the world of places that just, they were beautiful. What's your beautiful place? What's the most beautiful place you've been? Some of these are Chile. That one's the Falkland Islands. What's the most beautiful place you've been? Friends, that's heaven, and it's even better than that. You see, this is just our temporary home. And we need to live like that. Don't get me wrong, I love life. I enjoy life, do not get worried about me. I love it. But friends, we are, as people of faith, we need to get it, grasp it, and live it. Our goal, complete the race. Our focus is Jesus. What's your example to others? Our tears for the lost, and friends, our home is heaven. We're going to move into a time of communion. And as I was preparing, I really felt that it was really important that we had communion. I'm going to ask any of the elders and the prayer ministry team to come up first and just stand out here, because I'd like you, if it's all right, to serve people, to go out and serve them. And you'll come up. But I really sense that in these few moments that people need to do business with God before they come up for communion. Maybe there was something I shared in that long list of things that can distract us, lose our focus on Jesus. Maybe you need to bring that to the foot of the cross. Say, Lord, I give you it. You might have been doing that during the worship. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He welcomes you. But he wants all of you. He doesn't want half of you. He doesn't want a third of you. He wants all of you. And that might be quite tough. But he says, come. Come, my child. And this is an amazing opportunity to do this as we remember his sacrifice on the cross. And there is nothing that you have done that he cannot redeem. There is nothing. So if you have, and I'm intentionally closing my eyes, if you have looked at somebody in the office in a wrong way and you need to bring that to Jesus, he can wipe it away. If you've done other things that are just wrong and are messing up your marriage, he can wipe it away. You might need to work on your marriage, but he can help you with that. We're here to help you with that. If there's stuff you've watched on the TV that is eating away at you, he can wipe it away. We can stand with you in that. If there are friendships that are broken, he can mend those friendships.